Hello, bride. Hello, hello. Welcome to the series of the Book of Revelation. Today we're going to dive right in because I'm on a time crunch because I have to go get Dennis. So we're going to get started. Yesterday when we was in the Book of Revelation chapter 2, let me pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you so much for the time to dig in your word. Into the most profound book in your Bible, Lord, the book of Revelation. We thank you, Lord, that this book is revealing you, who you are, Jesus. And I pray that you anoint my lips today and give us understanding with revelation today. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that blessed are those that read this book, and help us to have ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get started now. We are discussing in the book of Revelation right now, Jesus and the warnings of Jesus about the churches. You know, if you guys remember yesterday, when we did our canvas deal, we talked about the church of Ephesus, the church of Smyrna, the church of Pergamos. And I believe this is where we're at right now. I believe we're actually still in Pergamos. So let me duplicate this page and then we'll go back over here and see what he says. Okay, so we're going to start from the beginning just so that we have an understanding today of where we was at yesterday. Okay, it says, and to the angel in the church of Pergamos write, these things says he which has the sharp sword with two edges. And we talked about this yesterday, how there was another church where he described himself, and that's how he starts this warning off, is describing himself. He defines himself, saying that these things says he which has the sharp sword with two edges. Remember, we talked about the two-edged sword slices and dices. The truth cuts. It cuts right through the lies of the enemy. So he starts out saying this one is going to be sharp, basically. Then he says, I know your works. This is the church of Pergamos. And where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast my name and have not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwells. So basically, it's kind of like where we're at right now. We've got the beast on the scene, the Antichrist on the scene. That's where his seat is. And that Jesus is recognizing we're holding our own. We're fighting hard out here. We're holding on to our faith, right? Some people may be martyred very soon. But look at what he says in verse 14, which is the warning. He says, but I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Now, we broke that down yesterday, and we talked about the children of Israel being Christians in modern day, and that the committing to fornication actually means perversion. We talked about this being the ecumenical movement, which is the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, and how they hold to the doctrine of Balaam. Why? Because they are choosing to stay in Egypt. Remember, right now, we are coming out of Egypt. We're out, okay? They are in. This is why they are participating in their agenda, the COVID, all of the crypto, all of the Web3, all of their newfangled world order. They're in this thing. They're in Egypt. They're casting a stumbling block to God's people by pushing them into the beast. That's what they're doing. Okay? And that's what Jesus is talking about right here. So let's go back over here. So have you also, them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate? Okay. Repent. In other words, okay, you have partnered with them, basically, is the way I'm taking this. I know your works and where you dwell and where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast my name, have not denied my faith even in those days wherein Antipas was the faithful martyr who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. So in other words, you're in the fire. You're in the fire. But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So have you also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, which he talked about that before, about the heart. But he says right here, repent, or else I will come unto you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I would actually like to see a commentary of this church. Hold on just a moment. Commentary of the Church of Pergamos in the Bible, in Revelation. Okay, here we go. Okay, all right, here we go. The church in Pergamum is described as a community living in a hostile pagan environment referred to as where Satan has his throne. They remained faithful to Jesus under persecution, but compromised with false immoral doctrines. Jesus warns them to repent of allowing Balaam and the Nicolaitan heresy, idolatry, sexual immorality to spread, promising hidden manna to those who overcome. The context. Pergamum was a major center for emperor worship and the cult of Asclepius, the serpent god of healing, making it a dangerous, idolatrous city. Despite the intense, deadly pressure mentioning the martyr Antipas, the church did not renounce their faith in Christ. But some members were adopting worldly practices like participating in trade guild feasts involving food offered to idols and engaging in immorality to avoid social and economic exclusion. Bam! Going into Web3. Going into the beast system. In other words, you compromise and you sold your soul. Basically is what it is. So here's the warning. Jesus threatens to fight against them with the sword of his mouth, the word of truth and judgment, if they do not repent. Those who conquer are promised hidden manna, spiritual substance, and a white stone with a new name, symbolizing acquittal, honor, and intimacy with Christ. This letter serves as a warning against compromising with culture and ignoring immoral or false teaching within the church. Because he says right over here, let's see, where are we at? He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows save he that receives it. All right, now we're going to do a little exercise this morning. or this evening. Okay, now in this new church right here, we're going to take this word ecumenic and this vomit deal. All right. And then we're going to look up a white stone. Hold on here. White stone. Here you go. All right, and then what the world? All right, and let me put it over here in the writing. White stone, and then we're going to put this in red. Okay, so what we're going to do right here is we're going to take a white stone. Okay, we're going to call this a white stone. Let's see if we can make this more wider by chance. No, okay. There we go. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the names of what I'm going to do is ask all of you that's in the chat. I want you to give me the first name that pops in your head. If you think Jesus was to give you a new name, give me that name and I'll put it on this stone. So just ask the Lord, Lord, what name would you give me? And let me know what name pops up in your head. I just have one pop up into mine. This was my granddaughter I lost, Julia. Okay, and let me put okay, so we're fixing to go around the room. All right, let me copy this. And we'll start off with Heather. Okay, Heather says, my first was Mary, my mother's name, and then Priscilla. You had two, huh? Double blessing. Let's go ahead and put Mary. Okay, and then let's get another name, and let's go over here to... Diamond. Sharon said the name Diamond came up to her. Okay. All right. So we got another name coming. Who's the next one? We got Darcy says Allison. All right. Who's next? Who gets a white stone today? Oh, okay, Lovey has, the Lord renamed you back in 2011. Oh, that's your name is Luvincia? Lovey. Oh, Lovey is what the Lord named you. Oh, L-O-U-V-I-C. Oh, that is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. The question is, ask the Lord what name he would give you as a white stone. What is the first name that pops in your head? And then I'll put it on a white stone. Okay. Well, we'll just take these few then. We'll take these off. All right. Now, if you take these names here, let's group them together. We'll put them over here, and let's put Diamond over here in the middle. Jonah. Okay, very beautiful. Jonah, okay. You're drawing a blank. That's all right. That's all right, Barbara. Okay, so let me put this in here as a white stone name. Now, I got to tell y'all a revelation that God gave me, guys. You know, the reason I think this is so beautiful is because one time I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, actually, let me move this up here now that I'm going to tell you this revelation. I said, Lord, why did they stone people back in the old days? And you know what he told me? He said they stone people because they are rejecting their houses. We're houses. And so if you think about this, this is the foundation. This is like Jesus's house. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so let's go back over here. All right. So that is the Church of Pergamos. Now we're going into the Church of Thyatira. And unto the angel of the Church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. When y'all hear that, what does that make you think of? This is the Church of Thyatira. This makes me think of this drawing that I did. Was it this one? Yes. Yes. When I was reading Revelation chapter 1. So let's... copy that and go over here. Okay. Now, let's bring this down. All right. Now, the Church of Thyatira. Okay, when it says his eyes were as a flame of fire and his feet are like fine brass, see, here he is right here. Let's move this over here. And let's put these words over here. Oh, it didn't copy. Let me redo it here. Copy. And over here, paste. Okay, very good. And let me get the underline off. Move this over here. All right. And delete right here. Okay. unto the angel of the church in Thyatira. I spelled it wrong. Thyatira. Okay. Thyatira. Okay. These things says the Son of God, who has his eyes as a flame of fire and feet as in fine brass. Okay, let's do the flames here. Let's do a flame. That'd be a cool one for his eyes, wouldn't it? Let's do some flames here. There's one. And then here's another. Isn't that something? Eyes as a flame of fire. And his feet like fine brass. Let's do brass feet. See if there's anything. No, just feet. I don't have anything. Look at the brass knuckles. That is funny. I guess I don't have any. Okay, we'll move on. They kind of look brass a little bit. Fine brass. Okay, so let's go back over here. I know your works and your charity and your faith and your patience and be first. I know your works, your charity, service, faith, and patience, and your works, and the last to be more than the first. Boy, can I just say something here? Does this not sound like that you're like every one of these? Does anybody else out there relate? Because it's like I can see myself in every one of these in one way or another. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Let's put this scripture out here. You agree too, so it's not just me. That's good. Because I'm thinking, wow, I can really see this, you know. There we go. Last to be more than the first. Okay. I know something we forgot over here is the candle on the Church of Thyatira. So let me copy this. Let's go ahead and group them together and then copy it and put it over here in this church. And copy this and put it over here in this church. All right. So let's kind of move this over here. There we go. Okay. So I know your works. Well, let me get the... And charity and service and faith and patience and works and last to be more than the first. In other words, I see all of your, let me do a strong arm. Strong arm is kind of what I see with this. In other words, I see all that you're doing, you know. All right, so let's copy here. Copy. I mean, duplicate. Let's duplicate. But then there's a warning to this. All right, so let's see what he says here. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. Because you suffered that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Boy. That is telltale, huh? It's almost like the last one, isn't it? Because it's like you're compromising. You know, you're letting them come in there and teach this vomit. You know, let's go over here. But instead of the arm, what we're going to do is we're going to put, here we go, somebody teaching them. There you go. Calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, ecumenism, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. All right, now let's continue and go back over here. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Oh, I still see this as Nar Church. So sad. All these people that, you know, God has dealt with them to not go in Egypt. But they did because people sin based upon their lust. So maybe they wanted the power because of the groups that they're involved in. They don't want to suffer their image, or because of the money, or, you know, something that they see that the group that they're with is wrong, but they're not saying anything. They're tolerating it. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. So what we're going to do is put a woman in a red dress. Woman in red dress. Here, this is a good one. Very sexy woman right here. There you go. All right. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. In other words, they're going to be swept away by the flood. Basically, is what this is. They're going to be swept in by the flood. Because they're not choosing to stay out. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? They're not choosing to stand up for what they know is right. You know, they know that what they're doing is wrong, but they're choosing to stay in it because, you know, I believe that some people are staying in it because they refuse to give up their doctrine. And what I mean by that is, like, say, you know, the doctrine of once saved, always saved, but pre-tribulation rapture. They refuse to even reconsider that doctrine And they are going to believe it and go down with it, is the way I see it. Because the Great Reset should have opened their eyes to, wait a minute, something is not right here. But look what he says here. This is so sad. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. In other words, you be feeling the pain. Okay, so let me go in here and put it in here. That is a scary, sad thing right there. All right, now let's go to the next one. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, but have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. What does he mean by that? But that which you already hold fast till I come. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule with them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Okay, let's seek this out for a little more clarity here. This is the church of Thyatira. The Church of Thyatira, addressed in Revelation 2, 18 through 29, was commended for increasing love, faith, service, and perseverance. However, it was severely rebuked for tolerating a false prophetess, Jezebel, who led members into idolatry and sexual immorality. This church represents a compromising, worldly, yet active body. Key aspects. The longest of the seven letters, it contrasts the church's growing good works with their dangerous tolerance of heresy. It is commended for its love, faith, service, and perseverance with actions that were better at the end than at the beginning. But here's the weakness about Jezebel's teaching. The church allowed a woman to teach the Christians that they could participate in pagan trade guild feasts involving idol food and sexual immorality. Kind of like, say they would take them to Burning Man. You know, some type of goofy thing like that. Without compromising their faith. Symbolism often interpreted as representing the church during the medieval period, where internal compromise and corruption were major issues. Located in a city known for its trade guilds, dyes, leather, pottery, making economic survival difficult for Christians who did not participate in pagan celebration. Kind of like the way we are right now with Egypt. Promises to those who do not hold to these deep things of Satan. Jesus promises authority over nations and the morning star. The letter highlights the danger of blending religious faith with worldly practices. When I think of that, I think of these churches, you know, that have brought the yoga in and they doing all that New Age stuff type of deal. Basically, it's just compromise. That's basically what it is. It's a compromising deal. Does anybody have any thoughts on this yourself? Nobody has any thoughts of this because we're going to stop. We finished this book, this chapter, in other words. Ain't that funny that he says he will give them the power over the nations? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. All right. So we will stop there. It's kind of short today, but I've got Dennis's truck, so I got to take it back to him. Just seems to me that they were corrupt then as they are now. True that, Ms. Heather. True that. Yep. All right, guys. Well, I'm done for the day, so I will talk to you guys later, and I will see you tomorrow. Have a good evening.